Folks, you look good, let me tell you. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it? Yeah. What a day. Man, it is gorgeous outside. And I know the pollen, so if you have to sniff or sneeze, that's okay. We're all affected, I'm sure, one way or another. But let me tell you, I'm so glad to be here. As we begin our time of worship this morning, I want you to watch about a minute and a half video. We are in the process of collecting our Antioch Strong Easter offering. And so many people kind of wonder, who in the world is Annie Armstrong? Well, maybe this video, it's called Annie's Tree, will show you a little more about the mission efforts of this lady right here in the States and why that offering is named today from the Southern Baptist Convention, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for state missions right here in this country of the U.S. Would you watch this video right now?
My name is Ariana,
and I'm from Baltimore. Sometimes, church planners say their business is starting something from nothing.
But that's not really true. We're able to do missions today because of the generations who came before us. We fill in buckets for all parts of the country. From the mind city, and you can see that's how we do the roots of our tree growth.
The normal one, those roots go back to the 1850s. That's from the New York songs.
Right down the street from our church plant, that's where the Danny lives and works.
She did it and met Southern Baptist Mission, so she did change poetry mission.
Mom writes where any other way becoming a woman missionary.
It's where she helped launch the offering in front of Southern Baptist Mission work around the world.
And it's also where she helped launch the offering up from Southern Baptist Mission work inside North America.
Before the Jean Armstrong died, Southern Baptist named that offering after her.
Now, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering helps the people like me on the mission field.
I live in the city of Annie Armstrong, but I don't live in the city of
Annie Armstrong. Do you have others?
We support the handful of missionaries. We support thousands.
Obviously, not much is left of the Baltimore or the world that Annie knew.
I'm a descendant of Annie Armstrong.
I'm a descendant of Annie Armstrong.
I'm a descendant of Annie Armstrong.
You are too. You don't have to be in Baltimore to be part of her family.
If you're a Southern Baptist and you're praying, giving, going so that others might know Jesus, you're on the Annie Armstrong.
You're a descendant of Annie Armstrong. And obviously, you aren't heard of
Annie Armstrong had action for people, for missions, and for Jesus.
And you know, to those who came before us and to those who come after us, to keep that passion strong.
And God comes up from the for future generations.
And now God wants to use us to do the same thing.
It's up to me and my generation.
It's up to me and my generation.
It's up to me and my generation to do whatever it takes, just like Him.
Just like Him.
Just like Him.
$606, and people say, where did you come up with that? Well, Mark chapter 16, verse 6, to be exact. And we just added a few zeros there in the mark. Mark 16, 6 tells of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we felt like, let's base our goal this year on Easter Sunday, on the resurrection. Matter of fact, on every Sunday, because folks, every day we gather to worship on Sunday, it's the first day of the week. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. And so our goal this year, $1,606. And Honors Prince has always been faithful to meet that goal, and I thank God for you. And for our giving to Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You recognize this guy to my left right here as a dear, dear friend in ministry. Jim Wallace and I had the privilege of working together for almost 6 years at First Smyrna during those days, and he's retired. Well, he don't look retired today, but Jim is one of my dearest, dearest friends on this earth. He and Dean, where'd you go? Wait, yes. By time there, you know, we had such a good time together. Jim is going to be with us these weeks and help us out, and I thank God for this man. I'm glad he's here that can come in, you know, like this and help us out. And we're excited to have Jim Wallace with us leading and directing our choir and our ministry music all together. And as God will lead him and lead us, we'll see over these next few weeks. But he's going to be here to help us through these next few weeks for sure. And I thank God for you, my brother.
It's great to be with you. I feel like I know so many of you since I've been over here for your programs that I've sung in and still in, so it's great to be here. And we look forward to being with you. The scene is Jerusalem. The crowds have gathered for Passover, and the name on everyone's lips is Jesus. Crowds have lined the narrow streets to see this man from Galilee. Just a carpenter, some say, clean fools astray, yet many kneel to praise. And in his eyes they glimpse the Father's words, for he comes in the name of the Lord. Would you stand? Let's sing that together.
There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord.
before Passover in Jerusalem in the first century. Can you imagine with Jesus what he was about to face? He put him on a donkey and he took him through the town, and they put palm branches in front, hence Palm Sunday we call it today. And the very fact that you know of what Jesus Christ would face less than a week later. We've been talking about over these last few months, couple months, and bringing it still this day, and especially to next week. But folks, just think about this week, Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. You know, that seems wild, so triumphal, but it was for everybody around, but for Jesus, oh, wow, what he was about to face. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. And Father, we're here today for one reason, that's to worship you. And we couldn't be here apart from the resurrection. So Father, take every thought we have, every spoken word, every preached word, every song that's sung, and bring it captive under your very thinking, your very heart. So that more of all that we do this morning, right now, we're not only honored with God of this universe, but Lord, as we've said so many times and we believe it, may it be sweet perfume to the very throne room of heaven as we come to worship the true and the living God. Father, we love you, and I thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Remain standing, because here's what I want you to do. Find you about five people. We have gas and boxes. Most of you I've met said that most of you, but I want you to meet all folks here this morning. And let's do that around. I'm glad you find folks. Give them a hug. Say, welcome to worship. And I'll let you bring us. Red, blue, and white, red, besides. Ms. Marcel, and first thing we want to do is pin that on because, folks, you are our guest as we come together today, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But can y'all take a look back there and y'all start answering me up? Do the right thing. So, y'all want to do that? I want y'all and this is where it gets embarrassing because it's so quiet. Everybody's watching. You know? But that's okay. That's why. While they're doing well, you go ahead and you work on that. That's fine. I just, I think most of you all know that Susan and Paul is Susan's father, and Marcel is Barry and Scott's mom, and Linda's here. We've got the whole crowd on the other side. Thank you all for being here. I know they appreciate it. I, you know, because this makes it. And everybody knows Jim on the backside of only Jim Matthew right there, Susan's husband. And we just let the kids take care of us because, yeah. And I appreciate all of you being here as well. Got some information, though, I looked up. And I write this down because, you know, at my age, you get to the point that you remember where you remembered it, and then you forget where you thought you remembered it before you ever went there. So that's about where I am. So, we look back in the records. Mr. Paul, you are what we figure the oldest active member of Olive Springs, the oldest active member. You joined Olive Springs, according to the church records, on April 8th, 1951. That makes him a member of this church for 63 years. Year. And if you, I went further, don't worry Marcel, I won't tell all this about you, but I will tell you about Paul. He was born on July 31st, 1918, and if my records and brain is right, that's 95. Isn't that right? 95 years old. Who the fuck is? You believe in that? 95. And then, so that's 1951. That's 63 years, Mr. Paul. Ms. Marcel, I went back to you guys, Mary and Scott, when you guys joined here. And I remember that. Wow. They didn't need to get to it. You guys joined on March 29th, 1966. You all moved here in 65, isn't that right? And joined here in 66. Yeah. Well, if I figure that out, Marcel is a member and been a member and going to continue being a member anyway, is still 48 years. Y'all, back in that where we were all standing there, Darnell and I were standing here a minute ago, and we were all talking. That's 101 years between both of them. Folks, that deserves not only applause, I don't know what else to do. And I figured, gosh, folks, I've known these two all my life. And I'm still going to be their pastor before they go to Jonesboro, California. I mean, that's just the way it is. When you have friends like that, your friends turn, you know? And I thank God. You will never know what you've been through and what you continue to be. Because I remember all the times, you know, when all of us guys, Barry, Scott, and all of us, we were all growing up here. And the ministry. We are where we are today as your kids. Susan, Barry, Scott, all of us. Because of all. And because of people who care enough to love us, even though we were the horror of the church. And I was. Trust me. But they still love them. And they still love their children. And that's why those children are outside of you guys today. And I am so thankful. And then I thought, I said, what's the best way we could honor Paul and Marcel? And we thought, well, let's get them and get some hymns that they love and listen to. And then I said, well, Barry's our man, Barry Sherry. Sherry's starting to do a job, and family couldn't be here. And I said, well, maybe Barry can come. What would we just do about that? So I called Barry, we got to call him. And I will say, Mr. Paul, Marcel, I've been talking to your whole family. All this as well. And I know none of us now, and we couldn't keep it a surprise. We just wanted to do this out of our love for you as a church and church family. But I thought the best way to honor you guys is to pretty familiar. I knew you Lord's power. This guy has got one absolutely incredible voice. We work together to get to see him. And I told him, I said, Mary, is there any way you can get here? If you could just come and sing for your mom and pa. I mean, you know, to God, obviously, but just sing, you know, any of her songs that y'all love or both love together. And just put it. But Mary says, I'll just put it together in a minute. And he says, they may call me back. Says, I am going to be able to come. So my brother, I thank God. I did. This guy's one of the dearest friends on this earth. And I thank God for him and his ministry. And where he is, mostly I think God's great to get here, not only safe, but when we're having a mom and Paul, you just bless us. Even you can say, brother, you do that. I've got a mic for you right over here.
Yeah, just one mic. Thank you, Randy. God bless you. I think the biggest thing I want to say is thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church, for your expression of love to these here folks. They love you. Possibly more than they can express. I know that's the case. And there's a lot of, I'd say, bittersweetness. Not a lot of sweetness for them this morning. You add up those numbers of years in the service of this church. They've buried loved ones here. There's a lot of meetings, right? A lot of ministry that has gone back and forth through the years. The church has served the ministry to them. Their hearts are, I'm sure, quite heavy this morning. And the sweetness comes because of your love to them.
Right.
And that's where the sweetness will remain, because they're going to serve in another place. They're going to be missionaries from Bottle Springs to Jonesboro. So it's my honor this morning to share with you three of their favorite hymns, asking what their favorite hymns were. I knew Love Lived in Me was one of my mom's favorites. And she mentioned Have Faith in God, and that was surprising. I didn't realize it was one of her favorites, so we'll do that. And then Paul's was It Is Well With My Soul. So we're going to do a medley of those three. Pay attention to the lyrics, because when you ask somebody what their favorite hymn is, it says a lot about who they are. So pay close attention to that.
He heard my soul.
Oh.
Wow. I'll say before Jim comes, let me say one other thing. First of all, there are folks here today who also have come to honor you, and some of us, they all grew up with us today. And excluding family, if you're not a member of Olive Spring, but you came here specifically for Paul and Ms. Marceau, would you stand up in their honor? I would prefer them to be able to see a few of those married guys. George, thank you all, and all of you for being here. It's good, man. These are folks that are right here. But I know you want to express your love and appreciation. You'll have a chance to do that when we close our service in just a few minutes. I love you, folks. And I thank God for you. And His church thanks God for you. And I want you all to understand, today is not goodbye. We just wanted to celebrate 101 years. Well, that's young, you know. But you stop and think about that. What you folks have meant to this church. Would you join me, folks, and let's express our love and appreciation.
Thank you. I'd like you to stand again, and we're going to sing a wonderful song at Calvary. As we sing this song, let's think about what Christ, how He paid the price for us.
I was just thinking as Brother Barry was singing that I think for today, at least today, we should take off our watches and put them in our pocket, turn off our cell phones and bask in the glory of God, and allow Brother Randy to preach without us looking at his watch. We've had a special time today, and I think we should lift up God's word. And I want to read a couple verses from Isaiah, and before I do that, I want to take off my watch. Isaiah chapter 53. This is written 700 years before our Lord was crucified. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter and like a sheep silent before her shearers, He did not open His mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And who considered His fate? For He was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. They made His grave with the wicked and with the rich man at His death. Although He had done no violence and He had not spoken deceitfully, yet the Lord was pleased to crush Him and He made Him sick. When you make Him a restitution offering, He will see His seed, He will prolong His days, and the will of the Lord will succeed by His hand. He will see it out of His anguish, and He will be satisfied with His knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mightiest spoil, because he submitted himself to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels." That brings us to our memory verse today. I will read that, and I'll pray for us and for our offering. It's out of Mark chapter 15, verses 25 through 26. If you have a copy of God's Word, I encourage you to follow along, or it's on the back of your bulletin or on the screens. Now remember, what I just read was written 700 years before this happened. "When he found out from the centurion, he gave the corpse to Joseph. After he brought some fine linen, he took him down and wrapped him in the linen. Then he placed him in a tomb cut out of the rock and rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb." God's Word is powerful, and Jesus is alive. And that tomb is not only empty, but Jesus is alive. Let us pray to our risen Savior. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you just for the mighty works you've done in our lives and your presence here this morning. And God, we pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts and our minds through your word, through song, through prayers, through the kind actions of others. We thank you for Mr. Paul and Ms. Marcel and their families. We thank you for their dedication. And it was not a vain dedication, because, Lord, they served because you love them. They love because you love them. And Father, we pray for your blessing upon their lives. We pray for your protection. We pray that you would intervene in their lives, Father. We thank you for their examples to us of leaving a legacy. And Father, we pray that we can carry that legacy on in this church, that we would dispel the darkness with your light. Because when you appear, just the breath and splendor of your coming will destroy and vanquish the enemy forevermore. But we know, because of your word, that we are more than overwhelmingly conquerors. May we stand upon the word of God as the authority of our lives. May we rest in faith because of what you've done in the past, that you will be our Jehovah Jireh in our future. God, may we give you everything that we have. May we not hold anything back like Ananias and Sapphira. May we give everything that we have, every portion of our being, everything. May we understand, Lord, that everything is yours and all the world is in it, and we are just stewards. God, may we lay down everything, our rights, our privileges, our families to you, Father. God, you're powerful. May you fall on us powerfully, Father. Thank you for your mercy and grace. May you do more with this money than we could ever imagine. For your glory, for your kingdom only. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm Let me just say something, folks. On this platform today, you have heard music that is incredible by friends of mine. And so, with Larry, thank you, my brother. Larry Freeman, if you don't know Larry, the guy to the right of Jim, a dear, dear friend and active at First Baptist Church, Smyrna. And the man who coordinated all this music today, including that with Barry and all, is Jim Wallace. Jim, brother, to come in on a Sunday and to be kind of deluged with a lot. Thank you. Thank you so much as well. Richard, and you may not know the guy that was to my left playing the organ. George is at a conference today. So George didn't change appearance. It's just Richard Matthews. Richard Matthews is the organist at First Baptist Smyrna, and he came over today. Richard, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you being here. Matter of fact, he and Gail used to, you guys were together. Where'd you go? There you are, at Eastside for years. So it's a treat to have you guys here. I hope you have your Bibles with you. We're in Mark chapter 15, and we begin in 42, verse 42, and I appreciate Matthew's gracious words, but I won't be long, but at the same time, I want us to dig deep into these scriptures because we're continuing in our series called In the Shadow of the Empty Tomb, because what I've wanted us to do over these last 9 weeks is to look at what's going on in the Passion of Jesus from looking from the empty tomb out. You see, we see it as a different perspective than those in the first century. You know, it's all done. It's all happened. We live on the other side of the resurrection. And so Mark clearly writes exactly what happened. We've talked to John Mark. We know who he is and who the guy was. But Mark chapter 15 tells the story of a man named Joseph of Arimathea. And that he went to Pilate. You know the story. He begged the body of Jesus from Pilate. Pilate wanted to be sure he was dead. And then when he did, the Roman centurion made sure everything was fine once he knew that Jesus was dead, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. Then they gave him the body of Jesus. You know the story. They took the body of Jesus, that is Joseph, wrapped him in fine linen, and put him inside the tomb. And it was sealed with a Roman seal. So they took him down. His poor dead body, and prepared him for burial. They took him down, his poor, pale body, drained of life, ashen, and stained with its own lifeblood. His healing hands now pierced and still, serving hands that broke 5 loaves to feed 5,000. Holy hands often folded in fervent prayer. Poor gentle hands now pierced and still. His torn, poor feet now bloodied and cold. Feet that had walked weary miles to bring good news to the broken hearts. Feet that once washed in penitent tears, poor, torn feet, now bloody and now cold. His kingly head, made for a crown, is now crowned with thorns. His poor, kingly head, crowned with thorns. His gentle breast, now pierced by the spear thrust, quiet and still. His poor, loving breath. His piercing eyes, they're now dark and blind. They're eyes of compassion that warm the soul. Fiery eyes burning at sin. Tender eyes beckoning sinners. And piercing eyes, now dark and now blind. His matchless voice, the fountain of the Father's thoughts, is stopped. It's now stilled. Silence now. Where once had flowed wisdom and comfort, spirit and life, his matchless voice, still silent. Dead. They took him down. His poor dead body. And prepared him for his burial. probably one of the most tender scenes to watch in the Passion of Christ is the deposition from the cross when Jesus' body is lowered from the cross. Jim, I remember Living Pictures. And I remember the scene behind the screen when you did that. And the picture was of the deposition, the cloth around the shoulders by two men at the top and lowering that body from that cross. When I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, I was privileged to direct the Chattanooga Easter pageant. And we had one of our guys who played Christ for us each year, and we reenacted that deposition as one of the scenes that I can remember. When our cast and choir and all were together and they watched that scene. And Connie will vouch for me. She was there. And Bethany was there. She was here. You would see tears coming down the stream of just the cast member and the choir because of how tender it was to take that poor, dead body and put him in a tomb. I can't talk about that as I tell you about Joseph of Arimathea. And that's in your outline this morning. There are four things I want you to know about this man that is very interesting to me in the Scripture. We're in Mark chapter 14 and we're in verse 42. Listen to it. Actually, 42 and 43. When it was already evening, because it was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin, who was himself looking forward to the kingdom of God, came and boldly went into Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. The first thing I want you to know about Joseph of Arimathea is this. He was an eternally changed man. Write that down in that first point. He was an eternally changed man. The day is Friday, the preparation day for the Sabbath. And according to the Jewish time, the Sabbath would begin at 6 p.m. on Friday. But to the Jew now, it's Saturday. You see, the resurrection of Jesus so changed history that the Sabbath on Saturday would be forever on the first day of the week on Sunday. And Jewish law said that no deceased body could remain on the cross after 6 p.m. on Friday, which was the beginning of the Sabbath. You want to check me out on that? It's Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. So therefore, Jesus died when, folks? What time on Friday afternoon? Help me out. 3 o'clock. He died at 3. Jewish law said he had to be buried at 6, by 6 p.m. Because that was the beginning of Sabbath. That was also evening, the beginning of the watch of evening right there as well. So, Joseph had less than 3 hours to go to the Roman procurator's house. He was probably most likely staying at Herod's palace. So he had to go to Herod's palace, plead the body of Jesus, which he's taking his knife in his own hands to do that, especially being a member of the Sanhedrin court, and then get him off the cross, go buy the linen, get things ready, wrap his body in linen, according to Jewish custom, and put him inside the tomb in less than 3 hours. I want you to see something, though, about Joseph. Matthew 27 says that when it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph came, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew never goes into detail as to who this Joseph was, other than he was rich and then he'd become a disciple of Jesus. But the Scripture is very clear. Now, watch this. All 71 members, remember, of the Sanhedrin court, the Jewish council, all 71 voted for the charge of treason, blasphemy, however you want to say it, to condemn him to death. Mark 14, 64, you have all heard the blasphemy. Remember the courtyard of the room of Caiaphas? What is your decision? The Bible says this, and I quote verbatim, and they all, 71, condemned him to be deserving to death. And then in Mark chapter 15, verse 43, which says he was a prominent member of the Sanhedrin, that is Joseph, who was himself looking forward to the kingdom of God. Joseph was a closet disciple. He had not been out publicly proclaiming Christ. He was a closet disciple. Luke chapter 23, verse 51 says that Joseph, who had not agreed with their plan or action, it says. Folks, you can vote for something and agree or not agree. In this case, the Bible tells us that Joseph voted yes, but he didn't agree with his vote. He was a closet disciple. Something had happened to Joseph of Arimathea by the next chapter. And I know what it was.
How about that?
It's a cross.
See, you can't stand at the cross of Jesus and your life not be changed. It's impossible. There is power there, like what you said, in the cross. Something, have you ever seen that in Scripture? 71 voted yes. Joseph said, they said, oh, he was a prominent member of the Sanhedrin. You better believe he voted yes. But he was a closet disciple. He didn't want any of them to know. And so, folks, can you see now that he goes to Pilate what risk this man is taking? This is not just me walking up there. This is a member of the Sanhedrin court, and in particular, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin court, and he's going to Pilate asking for the body of Jesus.
But something had happened, because I'm telling you what, the Joseph in the courtroom would have done that. But after he had been to the cross, I think old Joseph of Arimathea was so changed that folks, hell itself couldn't stop him. Now, Joseph had already bought a tomb. It was his, never been used before. We know that. So he was a man of eternity, that was changed eternity, eternally changed. Here's the second thing about Joseph. It's found in verses 43 and 45, actually the last part of verse 43 and 44 and 45. He's a man of what? Bold courage. Write that down. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin who was looking forward to the kingdom of God, came and boldly went into Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised that he wasn't already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had already died, and when he found out from the centurion, what did he do? He gave the body of Jesus to Joseph. People lived on the cross for days from crucifixion. It's excruciating. It is beyond anything any of us in this room can ever attempt to imagine. The physical part of the crucifixion alone. 6 hours this man lived on the cross. He was almost dead before he ever got on the cross by the Roman flagrum of the lash. But let me speak to your heart for just a second. I don't believe Jesus died because of the physical pain of the cross. Now, none of us could stand it. I told you about kidney stones last week. I told you about the pain of childbirth, ladies. You know? And folks, that's excruciating. The word literally means the pain of the cross. But let me tell you my heart. I believe Jesus died from a broken heart. I don't believe he died because of the pain. If he did, he would have lived for days, maybe one or two or three. Everybody else did. Go back in history. Go back to Josephus, a Jewish historian in the first century. Look at it and read some things. You'll find out people lived on the cross, not 6 hours. That was unheard of. That's why Pilate was so amazed. Is he dead yet? And the head of the Roman guard, the centurion, went to be sure and found. That's why the Bible says oftentimes, if it was before the Sabbath, they would have to break the legs of those who were on the cross so that they would die before 6 p.m. So they would suffocate themselves to death, which was the reason for crucifixion anyway. Folks, Joseph was a man of bold courage. What broke the heart of Jesus?
Yep. Our sin. My sin has buried the same just a few minutes ago. Folks, to realize the way we talked about that in recent messages, that Jesus Christ Himself became sin. In the Greek language, the words right there mean takes on the form of sin. It means to literally put upon Him, as I say it, Isaiah said, to put on Him the iniquity of us all, to lay it on Him. That's what happened. Every sin that you and I could ever conceive to commit, just in this room, was put upon Jesus Christ on the cross. Last week, we remembered, we understood, and we realized the darkness, the skotos that was there. Joseph was a man of bold courage, a courage to go into Pilate amidst who he was now, because he was a true, committed disciple of Jesus Christ. And he says, please, Pilate, give me the body. Do you know what could have happened? Pilate could have killed him. There's no record of that. Pilate gave him the body. What use was the body of Pilate, Jesus, to Pilate? He knew that. What good would it do for Pilate? Remember last week? Or a couple weeks ago, the wishy-washy procurator? What good would it do that man? So he gave the body. Can you imagine being Joseph? Brings me to the third thing I want to tell you, and the final thing this morning. Joseph was a man of tender compassion. Mark chapter 15, verse 46. And he bought some fine linen, and he took him down, and he wrapped him in the linen, and then he placed him in a tomb cut out of the rock, and he rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. And then verse 47 kind of just appears, you know. Now Mary Magdalene and the Mary mother of Joseph were there watching where he was placed. The Bible says that Joseph went out and purchased what's called sindon, S-I-N-D-O-N. In the Hebrew Greek, it's S-I-N-D, long O, it's an omega there, sindon. But I think today we pronounce it not sindon, but sindon. Sindon is the most expensive linen you can buy. It's beautifully white linen. And in the Jewish burial, which was considered extremely holy, you never ever defiled a grave Jewish person. And they wrapped him in this cloth very tightly. Not like a mummy. We get that type of look. It was just wrapped very, very gently, but it was wrapped in that linen. Perfect. Beautiful. When was the first time Jesus was wrapped?
At birth.
When he came as a little baby. He was put in the grave, wrapped in that linen. But one day, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. Wow. Now we know that Joseph had some help, but the Bible is very specific in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 39. Now Nicodemus, who had previously come to him at night, also came, bringing a mixture of about 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes, and they took Jesus' body and wrapped it in the linen cloth with the aromatic spices according to the burial customs of the Jews. Folks, will you just hop in Joseph's shoes for a minute and feel like it would feel to take the body of Jesus off the cross? Such a tender, tender, tender compassion. Wow. And then verse 47. Ladies, I come back to you. Now Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph were watching where he had been placed. Ladies, you were the witness of the life, the birth, the life, the death, and will be
the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Greek people call this the kerygma. It means exactly what I've just said. And isn't it interesting? Mark, just kind of, that verse just kind of shows up at verse 47. Why? Because he wanted, as we've paid honor to Paul and Marcel this morning, Mark wanted to pay honor to Joseph. But even more, he wanted to pay honor to the ladies. Because ladies, it was you who confirmed for us that Jesus died and was buried.
So when they took the body down, the Bible says that the tomb was secret. Most of those tombs were called arcoding tombs. It's where you can walk in and drop down about 5 feet. And there are slabs cut out of the rock for the body to lay in those. So if you have to duck, get in. But you go down about 5 feet, so a little short guy like me can stand up. They lay Jesus' body there. And then in the trench, there's a multiple ton rock. I mean, this is not a small rock. And it took quite a number of people, perhaps the Roman guard that was standing. And what you do, if you look at the pictures, but you go back and study archaeology, you'll see that that rock didn't, it rolled, yes, but it rolled and then dropped in a trench. And when it dropped, it was cut to where when it laid against the tomb, there was about a few, I mean, it was small and large all the way, but there weren't these kind of breaks, it was very small. So what they did is they took a piece of rope, according to Pilate himself, his order, and Caesar Tiberius, and they put this rope around this rock, just like you would do caught in our daytime for a certain period. But then they would put, they would heat that rope, it would be warm, and they would put a wax across it. And it would airtight, it would completely seal that tomb.
And then Pilate ordered that the signet ring, the seal of Rome, be put on that wax, on that seal. Why? Folks, that meant that it was sealed where nobody could get out and no one could get in. But that was Friday. Sunday was coming. I thank God for men like Joseph. Men who followed the leadership of God. 1 week before had been the triumphal entry. It had been a week of celebration leading to the Passover. But Jesus knew what was about to happen. The disciples didn't. They never understood. And the Passover had now been changed. Jesus had faced the passion for us, the Judas kiss, the mockery of the council, the scourge of the flagrant, the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Staraho in the Greek, crucified, and his death. And Joseph, who had been a secret disciple, now possessed an unashamed commitment to Jesus Christ. And he did the most humble thing with the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He took him down. His poor, dead body. And prepared his body for burial. Let's pray. Lord, I can't imagine being Joseph. But yet, Father, just to think, to be able to handle your body. I mean, to be able just to take your body off of that cross. A body that had just been found guilty of every sin I could ever commit. Wow. I pray, Lord, this morning that all of us in this house has been encountered. Joseph was there. The women confirmed it. It is absolute truth. Jesus lived, died, and was buried. That was Friday. But Sunday. But Sunday was coming. Father, may we not leave here today unless we know for sure that we've been to that place where Joseph was, counted. That our life has been changed. Because just like Joseph, while he was a courtroom guy, he knew what it was like to serve on the courts. But when he saw Jesus on the cross, he could never be the same again. And Lord, I pray that is the case for all of us in the house. May we all have been to Calvary. I pray and thank you in the name of Jesus.
I want you to stand your feet here. While we're still in an attitude of prayer, Matt and I, Daniel and Austin, we're going to be right down here. Whatever's on your heart, folks, the cross calls us to commit. So that's what we want to do. The song says it. Have you been to Calvary? Join Jim. So we sit there and get a new right now.
Kids can lead out and everybody, but
we all escort mom, dad, grandma, grandpa all along down here. And while we're doing that, while they're doing that, Mr. Paul is myself gonna sit right here. I'm not gonna make them stand up. But I figured, you know, the best way for everybody just to come and y'all come in, yeah, y'all come in. You give them a hug, we kind of put them right here in front. They breathe this, they're okay. And I wanted you all to be explicitly able to come. And I want everybody to do that before you leave this morning
as well. And as they're coming, let me tell you one thing, a couple things.
First of all, this Thursday is Maundy Thursday. At 6:30 p.m., right here, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together on Maundy Thursday. It'll be about an hour, a little more, no more than 8 o'clock. Peter Shkrofram, and I may pronounce his name wrong, and I apologize to him now if I did, but he is the chosen people ministry. He is Jew. He is a Messianic Jew. He believes and has committed his life to Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. And the ministry of Chosen People Ministry is to the Jewish people all across the nation, the United States and the world, that the Messiah has come, Jesus. And he's going to come and share with us what the Seder meal means and how Jesus transformed the Seder meal to what it is to us, the Lord's Supper. Folks, you don't want to miss that. This is a born-again Jew that's going to be sharing with you the meaning of that. probably will be here. Our deacons will be here to serve you the Lord's Supper. You will not participate in the sacred meal, only the Lord's Supper. But be here at 6:30 Thursday night as well. It's going to be a great time. And I want to thank Daniel. He's close by. Daniel did an incredible job in getting everything planned and implemented yesterday. I guess for our Easter egg hunt, we had over 150 kids and their families out here. And the gospel folks were shared. Let me tell you, what a ministry of Olive Springs. Thank you all for everything that you did. And don't forget this as well. Been good to be in the house of God. Amen. Can I borrow your mic there just a second? I got this. Mr. Paul, there he is. Where I asked him to be.
I thought it would not only be appropriate that I wanted my brother in Christ to pray the benediction today. So, Mr. Paul, would you pray for us? I would appreciate it very much.
Heavenly Father, we come this time to thank you and praise you and magnify your holy name. We thank you for the honor and privilege and joy you gave to us that we can come to this house for the service of life, for the worship here. And we pray that we come to work for you, and that is worship you. Go with us now to go to our home. Give us a safe trip home. May we always know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
We're going to